History records that a greeting among early Christians, when they would see one another, would be to say, "He is risen." And the response that would come back from a believer would be, "He is risen indeed." And that message of faith in the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior is the account that we have read this morning. The truth of what has taken place so many years ago had impacted those early believers and has been given and passed down through the years to impact and affect us today, to change and transform us, to bring us that joy that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. This is the message. Faith in what has been passed down, what has taken place, what Jesus Christ has done, and the journey that each of us take to that point where there is no more doubt, there is no more denying. Is a journey that the Lord is willing and able to help each soul who hungers, each soul who sees in this world its death, its decay, and its uselessness, its purposelessness, and longs for something substantial and eternal. Doubts are not something that bring us joy, but we see many of them in this chapter. And as we would reflect upon what we read, we have to acknowledge that, and as we look in our lives, doubts do come. And maybe even, especially those of you who are yet outside the fold of Jesus Christ, you may have doubts. And you do have doubts. Because if you did not, you would come. You would heed the call of Jesus Christ to repent. You would hear the call that Jesus Christ says that the kingdom of God is come, and it is at hand, it is near you, and it is time to respond. And you would not hesitate, but you would leave everything behind and follow the commands of Jesus. But there's something in the way. We see the doubts manifested in these women and in the disciples. As these women who are coming, they're intending to bring the spices to anoint the body of Jesus on the third day after he was killed on the cross. And actually, he surrendered and gave up his life on that cross for you and for me. And death could not hold him. The grave could not contain him. The resurrection is the story of victory, of a conquering king, of one who can say, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, I have a job for you to do." Our victorious king rose up on that first day of the week. But on the way, the women questioned among themselves, and they asked, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? Who will open the tomb that we might bring these spices to anoint the body of Jesus and do what we are intending to do?" And we see the disciples, they hear of Mary Magdalene's account. They hear of the two that came and they were walking in the country, and Jesus came to them and expounded to them the scriptures, and we remember how they said their hearts burned within them as Jesus opened up their understanding that they might see and not doubt and be convinced Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all those prophecies and promises of God. But the disciples heard their report and they didn't believe. These are the doubts. And they're here for us to read about. And in this story, they're not cleaned up with any protection to self by those who experience this reality of doubt. That's what this story says. Now, what about you and me? What doubts do you have? Doubts are the things that we question. We ponder on and wonder. It's an internal struggle, something that nobody else can see, where we're tossing ideas. Well, on one hand this, but on the other hand this. They're questions. They're uncertainties. It's not a faith that the Lord is calling us to. Doubts, they're the things that hold us back. They're the things that result in no progress in our spiritual life. Doubt is like the ball and chain in all of the tools that Satan uses to keep men and women in bondage so that they don't make forward progress. They don't trust. They don't obey. They're not pleasant, but they have to be faced. What are your doubts? Some doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. Some doubt that God loves them. Some doubt that God will forgive them of their sins. Some struggle and toss about the question, am I ready to make that commitment? And will I be faithful? What are yours? Where are you hesitating in making progress? Where are you hesitating to make a start? We see these doubts in the women and the disciples. And you, only you know the doubts that are in your heart. But we see in the scripture a willingness of God to dispel the doubts. And he does this in two different ways. The women are concerned about the stone, and God sends an angel to roll the stone away, so that they can see, they can go in that sepulcher, they can behold the place where Jesus laid, and they can see for themselves, and they would be not faithless, but believing. And we see that for the disciples, Jesus comes to them and makes a personal appearance. His presence is made known to them. His word and his direction is made clear to them. And these are the ways in which the Lord can dispel your doubts and my doubts. Those doubts are heavy. They don't move easily. They're a weight, like that stone. The women remembered that the stone was rolled in front of the grave and that it was huge. It was very great, they said. And they could see it even from afar off. They noticed it was gone. God is willing to teach each and every one of us to confirm his promises are true, and to roll the stone away so that we would see and open our hearts to the truth of the Word of God and His promises. Do you question and wonder whether you can or should accept the Lord Jesus as Savior, as King? Consider how the Lord can roll the stone away. Read verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Who is receiving Jesus in this passage? It is the Father, the Almighty God, the all-knowing, all-powerful, the one who cannot be approached to, who dwells in light and glory, the one who is a consuming fire, the one whose standards are higher than anything that we can imagine, the one who can rightfully discriminate and be picky and choosy about whom he receives. And as Jesus ascends into the heavens, the Father accepts him without any reservation and embraces him and sets him rightfully upon the throne, exalted in the heavens. Now, how about you? And how about me? Who am I who have been invited to receive this King of Glory? Am I radiant in splendor and majesty and holiness? Can I say, no, Jesus, you're not good enough? But when we reject him, we do. We let him stay outside the door of our heart. We let him teach us things for our minds, but they don't affect our lives. And very much unlike the Heavenly Father, we, in our pride, leave him outside the door. And he's knocking. If Jesus is accepted in the courts of glory and by the Father, the Almighty God, what place do we have? What right do we have to turn him away? These women, they felt that the stone was in between them. And they knew it. The stone was in between them and what they would see to convince them. It's between where they are right now and total acceptance, total surrender, complete faith, holding nothing back. From point A to point B. And between is the stone. What is between you and that point of no denial of your Savior? No denial of the King of Glory? What is the doubt? The individuals that we've read of had their doubts. But God brought them through them and made them among those that we respect and admire for faith, for surrender, for sacrifice, and total devotion to the Lord. If God can do that with these who were doubting, can God do that for me? Can God do that for you? Is he able? Will we let him? Some doubt that God loves them. Yet this is a message of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This message of the love of God and God's provision is throughout Jesus' ministry, and is brought to its climax in Christ's sacrificial death on the cross and his victory over the tomb. Do you know what took place as Christ willingly suffered in the garden and on the cross for you? He had an opportunity to call legions of angels to spare him from that suffering, to free him from those nails that held him to the cross. But his love for you held off the legions of angels so that he could go through that suffering, so that he could bear your sin and my sin, that he might provide that cleansing blood for our great need and salvation. And he held back the angels that could have spared him suffering. And yet, he sent an angel. He sent an angel, not for his own comfort, not to spare himself, not to limit the expression of love that he wanted to make crystal clear to your soul and to your heart that God has for you. He did not send any angels to spare him for that, but for the rolling away of the stone, so that you could see and that mankind could see and testify of the empty tomb, and Jesus is no longer there, so that you might believe. He sends an angel for your sake and for my sake. And it took just one to move that roll that stone away. For his benefit, he took nothing. But for your benefit and for mine, he's willing to send the angel to roll the stone away so that you can see. What love, what compassion, what mercy Jesus has shown to us. Don't doubt. God has provided his very best in Jesus Christ, and there is no greater gift that he could have given. Don't look for anything more. You may find, you may obtain, you may partake in the great blessing through faith. And God is willing to bring you through the season of doubt, to bring you through your questions. He has an answer in the Word of God and is for you to find, for you to seek, for you to choose. For the disciples, the Lord provides a visitation, a personal contact, a word from Jesus Christ himself. And that is precisely what he intends to bring to everyone that doubts. You might ask, well, how? And this, brothers and sisters, is something we should take notice of, because we pray for those that doubt. We pray for our friends and our loved ones that gather with us. We desire and hope that that God would provide, that they would not sit in that rut of no progress, but they would be free. And for the disciples, it took a visit from Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ ascended, and he is seated at the right hand of God. He intercedes for us. But God still intends for the presence of Jesus Christ to be seen by those who are still outside of faith in him, still outside and doubting. And he's calling in this chapter his disciples to continue his work and to bring forth a manifestation to show the presence of Jesus Christ, to be a testimony of the empty tomb and the victory that Jesus Christ has brought over sin and over death. He's commissioning his disciples to go and to preach the gospel. This is merely a continuation of what Jesus Christ had been doing for the last 3 years. Early on in his ministry, the crowds were gathering, and they were amazed at the healings. And Jesus separated himself, and the disciples came and found him and said, "The crowds are looking for you." And he said, "I need to go to the other towns and preach the gospel, for therefore am I sent." Jesus had been preaching the gospel. And now he's telling the disciples, continue. Continue in my ministry. And what was it that the apostles heard in Jesus' teachings that showed them this is the gospel? It was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so that is why we exhort and we teach that in our speech and in our lives, in our choices, that we would demonstrate mankind's need to repent and to turn from sin, to embrace a kingdom that is not of this world. Do we show that in our possessions? Do we show that in how we demonstrate the gospel? Or does the gospel to us, or what we think of, as we think of the ideas of what that gospel contains, is it more like Jesus is going to save you and you can live however you want? Or does it bear a resemblance to the teaching of Jesus that convicted mankind of his need to repent and the reality of a kingdom of God that he was going to establish among a people that are called out, a people that are sanctified, a people that as the disciples went forth, they preached everywhere, and it says that the Lord was working with them. The Lord is wanting to work, and he's willing to work. And this is the means by which doubts are dispelled. When we bear witness to the empty tomb. That takes away all of our excuses. Because if Jesus truly is who he says he is, then he can. Then he can, as he works with me, to overcome. To demonstrate an obedience and a faith that shows that Jesus is true. The Lord called his disciples to this commission. And they have taught faithful men who are able to teach other faithful men. And the teaching comes to us today. Demonstrate Jesus Christ in his victory, in your surrender of life, and your rights of what you can do for the purpose of preaching a gospel that's consistent with carrying on what Jesus Christ has started. And those who come in our midst will declare, God is in you of a truth, because he's working with you. You have a part to play in this, brother and sister. And even those who are outside of the fold, as you come into the thoughts of dispelling these doubts and following Jesus Christ, you will also be called to be a disciple, to be an ambassador, to demonstrate the empty tomb in your life, the victory that Jesus Christ has won. May his word and his calling draw us to him. May we be a good leaven that affects one another in obedience to Jesus Christ, in the walk of holiness, not because we earn anything by it, but because Jesus has called us to demonstrate it and to carry on his work. And because souls that doubt need Jesus in their midst. And we sang it. My peace I give unto you. My kingdom is your kingdom too. Embrace the kingdom of God, his rule and his reign. And may the Lord work with us to dispel our doubts, confirming the word of God in all that we declare, whether spoken or lived, to his honor and glory. Amen.